Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
With the show where it's all happening.
Yeah! So, John, let's start with, I watched a little bit on Twitter. I think I know the final score, but tell me what went down with you and Travis Saturday in the Travis versus John part two.
All right, very close on the front nine.
Okay.
After nine holes, on the ninth hole, we're tied after eight holes. On the ninth hole, Travis parred, I bogeyed, so he was up one at the turn. Tenth hole, I par, he bogey, so we're tied.
Okay. Yep.
Then he absolutely boat raced me.
Really?
He won 11, 12, 13, 14, and it was over.
Wow.
He shot, and okay, so the best score I've ever shot in my life is 77.
Okay.
Travis shot 76.
Whew.
He shot 37 on the back, which is a par 36.
So
Travis shot 39. 37 for a 76. I shot 41-42 for an 83.
So obviously this game is mental. To what do you attribute your monumental back nine collapse?
Two things.
Yep.
I lost control of my driver. I kept hitting my driver out of bounds.
Yep.
And Travis was just really good.
Yeah.
I mean, he just didn't make any mistakes. I was never going to shoot 37. So at first I'm like, well, I'm blowing it because I'm hitting it out of bounds. But then I saw him and I went, I can't catch him anyway.
Does his practice, does his show schedule give him the ability to play more golf than you do?
I can't imagine anybody plays more golf. I just think he's better. He's just a better golfer. Like, my handicap is a 10. I thought he was like a 7. So I knew. I think he might be closer to a 5.
Wow.
Wow. But it was fun. Amanda was there. Chris Morales was there.
Yep.
Carlo was there.
There were up to 1,000 people watching on Periscope when I was
looking
at it.
He's the guy who got Coors Light to sponsor it. It was really fun to see those guys. I haven't seen, I know you haven't either. I haven't seen anybody from the station in person.
Yeah, I haven't
in
either.
2 months.
A long time.
So it was good. You know, it was good to see all those guys. And Travis played lights out. So I could make up a bunch of excuses and say that...
make up a bunch of excuses.
Nah,
you had a cold.
Nah,
you pulled a muscle.
No one was sick. No one was hurt. The one thing Travis did better than me was there was a very long wait on every shot.
Because?
And I am used to go, go, go.
Why was there a wait?
Very crowded.
Oh, it's crowded. Okay.
Yeah. But the guys at Black Gold were fantastic.
Why didn't you just play through?
Not an option.
No, it wasn't an option. You couldn't just zing it over somebody's head and say, we're moving through?
That's what would probably start a fight. But Black Gold was in great shape. Joe and Brian, the pros out there, they came and hung with us for 3 or 4 holes. They were, let's face it, everybody wants to play golf.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was just, and it was a Saturday, and we teed off at 10:15. So it was, but my penalty is that one day soon, I asked Travis not to do it this week, but probably next week or the week after, I will fill in for Travis on the morning show. He gets a whole day off, and then I will come back and do the afternoon show with you because I didn't want to do it this week because tonight, Steve.
Yes.
Live from the Ireland Jacuzzi with the Kamenetsky.
Oh, wow. Late night with the Kamenetsky brothers.
Late night dance party hoedown with the K-Bros tonight live from the Jacuzzi.
By the way, have you now come around on this whole Periscope thing? It seems to be pretty useful.
Well, it's not Periscope we're doing it on. It's more. It's not Zoom. It's a different program they're using.
No, it's on Periscope. I did it on Periscope.
Oh, Brian told me I
there's a platform within Periscope that you use, but I watched it on Periscope.
Well, tonight I'll be on it. Tonight from 10 to 11, me and Reagan the dog will be outside.
Reagan is going to be in the jacuzzi too?
No, she doesn't go in. She comes right up to it.
Okay.
And just hangs with me.
Damn, you're going to beat my record.
What's your record? Do you know?
I don't know. I know that Ramona had the best score.
Right, because Ramona did it where I think you came up a little short, is you had no bit. Ramona did it live from a stereo.
Oh, no, I beat Ramona.
Okay.
So Ramona did it first. She had the biggest number, biggest rating. Then I came along. I had the biggest rating. Now you're going to top everybody. Then I'm going to have to go back on and find some crazy way to beat you.
Yeah. So what you need a hook.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going live. Like, your old house would have been perfect for you to go live from the jacuzzi.
Because I could be from the jacuzzi or from the beach.
Well, actually, both. You had that great jacuzzi in your yard that was, like, yards from the beach.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that would be good.
So we'll see how it goes tonight. They said, though, that we're going to hopefully work it out technically. Brian sent me a note saying sometimes Bluetooth headphones don't work, so I might... I might have to get creative, but we're going to work it out.
All right, good, good. Well, that's tonight at 10 o'clock with the Kamenetsky brothers on Twitter at ESPN Los Angeles. So there's all kinds of great news. The breaking one, and this is confusing to me. NHL adopts 2014 playoff if season resumes. So it's if season resumes.
Okay, tell me what's confusing because I just studied it. I might be able to help.
Well, if season resumes.
Right. Leaving the caveat out there that all the leagues are, the NHL, the NBA, both college and pro football, that if medically we have a development that it may not continue. Like if there was a second outbreak or if it became unsafe, Gary Bettman is leaving open the possibility that things could change medically.
But did they give a date?
Yeah. They said that they are going to... work. Let me get you the exact dates. Okay. What they're going to do is they're going to bring 24 teams back. For example, Mace, the Kings and the Ducks are done.
Right. They don't make the 24.
Right. I'm trying
to see. The phase one draw will be on June the 26th.
Right. Well, and it says the 189 games that they missed will not be played. 24 teams will resume play, the top 12 in each conference based on points. Phase two is early June. In early June, the teams will be permitted to home facilities for small group workouts. Phase three, not earlier than the first half of July. Phase four, timing TBD, 24 teams in two hub cities will compete in seeding round robins, a qualifying round in a conference-based Stanley Cup playoff.
Right, but I mean, in the NBA, we've got much firmer dates.
We don't have any dates.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's July the 25th is what I read.
What? No, Adam Silver hasn't confirmed any of those. You're just reading what, like, Windhorst and other people
are reporting. Oh, well, what's being reported, sure. But nothing's being reported about the NHL. I mean, I believe what Windhorst and Woj and those guys are reporting, that July the 25th would be the start of the season. It would be the start of something, whether it's the final five games or a play-in tournament.
I just watched an interview with Windhorst, and even he isn't given a firm date. He's saying he's hearing that. But there's no locked-in dates for any team or for any league. There's no locked-in date. I mean, the NFL is saying they are going to stick to their schedule. But, like, for example, for the NFL, do you think they're going to you're going to have to – have you paid for your tickets yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Did you pay for the two preseason games?
Yep, paid for everything. All part of the deal.
Do you think those will be played?
Don't know. I mean, I don't know if they'll be played, and I don't know if there'll be fans there. I'm assuming probably there won't be fans there at the preseason games. Maybe at the opener, but not at the preseason games.
I'd be surprised if they play them. I mean, you don't need to play them. Why?
The Rams certainly don't. They don't play anybody anyway. Yeah, they don't.
Yeah,
play
that's
anybody.
A great point. Yeah, Sean McVay has sat everybody every year anyway.
Yeah, they become absolutely
But I don't want to bury the lead here. The NBA does seem to be moving forward. They just don't have any firm dates. Nobody has any firm dates. But they're speculating. A lot of people are speculating. End of July is when the season starts.
And June the 21st, training camp starts. That's also being speculated. June 21 started training camp.
But it's all speculation. Right. I talked to a bunch of people today. Like, nobody knows for sure. And until Adam Silver announces it, people are very hesitant to go on the record about it. So, but, I mean, that's like I've said from the beginning. What I want as a fan and as somebody who works in the NBA is give me the games back however I can get them. Just give me the games. So
right.
I'd be very encouraged if the dates that people are speculating about are true.
You would be surprised if they are or not surprised?
No, I'd be very happy.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, the dates, I think if you just read between the lines, there is a general sense that, by the way, this train is now moving. This train is now moving. I don't think that anything is going to stop it now. Everything is opening
barring,
Morales.
Wait a minute. Let me correct you a little bit. Barring a change in the medical situation, if there's an outbreak or something like that, they're very like everybody I talked to today.
Right, but we open stores in California.
Right, but
retail stores are opening. I mean, I think people are just go. I think people are just go.
I hope we get to see the games, but yeah. I mean, I would put in that there's nobody I've talked to. Maybe you're talking to different people, but there's nobody I've talked to that said we're going hell or high water. That if it's dangerous, we're going anyway. Nobody's saying that.
But
everybody's saying, all right, we're keeping an eye on things. If it continues to go the way it's going. If the numbers continue to show what they are, then we're moving forward.
Right, but like baseball's trying to start. I mean, if they reach there, and we'll talk to Bob Nightingale later on this hour, because apparently the players were unhappy with the initial offer from Major League Baseball owners. They're talking about June 10 spring training.
So do you still think baseball is first back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe Bob Nightingale's original announcement that he thinks baseball 90-10 by the 4th of July.
And it was interesting. Did you see what Michelle Roberts said today?
No, I did not.
She wants date. She wants what you're asking for. She wants, here's her quote. It's time. It's been 2.5 months of what if. My players need some level of certainty. I think everybody does.
Yeah. So, by the way, controversy, John. Mark at Redford Bass watched the entire match on Saturday and said, Ireland shooting 83 is total BS. He was all over that course. If he uses 4-foot gimmies to determine his handicap, there's no way he's a 10.
He's not completely wrong because... But, I mean, I played today and shot 84. You know,
Do you use 4-footers as gimmies?
No, but in this format, here's where he's not wrong. In this format, once Travis is in, then I pick up. Like, I don't finish a hole if he's in at 4.
Right, once he's in.
But I'll play Mark. I'll play at Redford Bass with my 10.
There you go, at Redford Bass.
Yeah. So
gauntlet has been thrown down.
Just let me know when and where. We'll play.
All right. So have you seen the you know what? Hang on a second. I'm missing some stuff. This is, first of all, Charles Barkley on his conversations with his bosses. He says the NBA will be back.
I do know this. Talking to my bosses at Turner, we're going to play basketball. It's either going to be in Florida and Vegas, or just Florida. And they say 2 to 3 months. So normally I get 2 or 3 months vacation during the summer. That is going to be gone. But like I say, I'm glad we're going to have sports back, but it's a scary thing, Paul.
So what is scary, Barkley? By the way, this is from the Paul Feinbaum show yesterday. What is scary is what Barkley said next. Plus, we've got Adrian Wojnarowski on the plans for the NBA moving forward. And Damian Lillard says, I won't play under certain circumstances, and Mark Cuban may have a solution. All that's coming up next for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Woo woo! All kinds of good news, people. It's Tuesday after a great holiday weekend. John played a lot of golf. Did you play every single day over the weekend, John?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm not playing tomorrow.
You're not playing tomorrow? And you played today.
I did. because I'm doing the K-Bros tonight. I'm not going to get up and play tomorrow.
Right. Oh, wow. You are you're on fire. We had a good weekend. We turned everything off. Had a total no computer, no TV, no nothing period on Sunday.
Couldn't do it. I admire the fact that you two can. I could not do that.
It was so great. I did not watch the Tom Brady pants splitting incident. I saw it on social media. Did you watch the big match?
I watched most of it.
And the ratings Brady were looked huge like, for it.
Brady looked like me in the beginning. He could not hit the ball in the fairway, and then he hit like an amazing shot. He hit a shot that like hit the green and backed up into the hole, and you know, kind of shut everybody up. But it was fun to watch, and I think they're probably going to do more of those leading up to, you know, we'll see what happens when golf comes back on June 11th, but. Justin Thomas was really funny. Phil Mickelson was really funny.
Yeah, I heard Barkley was really funny.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Talking NBA, Adrian Wojnarowski was on the Get Up this morning, and here's what he said about the NBA moving forward.
Everything is pointing toward a return of the NBA this season at a single site in Orlando at Disney World, and teams expect the league to tell them to start recalling their players as soon as next week, and there'll be a two-week quarantine back in markets, but the league has started to not only put the plans in place for a return in terms of testing and safety health-wise, but really digging this week into what that format is going to look like.
So, again, I'm guessing that because everything is slowly opening up now, that we are moving towards the NBA's return. And I mean everything in life is opening up. Gavin Newsom, the governor, opened retail stores today. So it's all opening up. It's all happening. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Charles Barkley yesterday on the Paul Feinbaum show talked about what happens if one player gets COVID.
I think the one thing we got to do is how are we going to handle if one of our players get infected? And that, to me, is the tricky part. I mean, you can't stop the playoffs. Like a team, I think a team's going to have to just forfeit a series if any of their players, not even their best player, gets the virus. You're going to have to sequester the entire team. And they're going to have to forfeit a round of the playoffs. They're going to be gone from the playoffs.
Now, I disagree with Barkley. I don't think that's the way they'll proceed. What do you think?
Well, Adam Silver is already on record as saying, if we're coming back, we can't shut the whole season down if one person gets it like they did with Rudy Gobert.
Yep.
So my guess is that they have a plan.
Yeah, my guess is they have a plan.
I don't necessarily know what it is, but I know, for example, that the Lakers are in a unique situation because they have that relationship with UCLA Health.
Yep.
So they're talking to doctors every day. I mean, every single day. So my guess is that there will be. You remember that document that came out for Major League Baseball that had all the health and safety things?
All the safety stuff. Yep.
I mean, my guess is that all these conversations are being had, and Charles Barkley is just speculating.
I think the indication was he was speculating to some degree. Well, I mean, Barkley's just going to talk, right? I mean, what baseball suggested is that if one player tests positive, they get sequestered, and you test everybody. And Major League Baseball has basically commandeered a lab in Utah to be their lab to handle testing. I'm sure the NBA is making similar deals with labs in order to get testing accomplished as quickly as possible. But I think at this point, the train is leaving the station. Now, here's what's interesting, John. There is this idea out there that perhaps the NBA would, and I know you're against this, go to a 1-16 format and abandon Eastern and Western conferences. I know you don't like that proposal, right?
I'm now come around to it.
You have.
I wouldn't, if you left it up to me, If you let, you said, okay, you get to decide, I would stick with the traditional conferences. That's just what I prefer. But if it gets me the games back, the reason that they've never wanted to do that is because of travel.
Sure.
Like that it would, but there is no travel.
Right. They're all at the same spot. Yeah.
So if you're ever going to try it, I can understand why. I could see an argument for it. If it gets me the, if it gets me the games back, I'm okay with it.
So listen to what Brian Windhorst said on his podcast. This was yesterday, about what might happen if things are seeded 1 through 16.
If they did a 1 through 16 and the possibility of Brooklyn Lakers in the first round, and like Durant and Kyrie knew that this week, like it was in, it was like figured out this week, I good luck even, Kevin. I know what's been said. I know what Woj just said. I got it. I'm just saying circumstances change.
Wow. He's indicating that possibly if it's 1 through 16 and it's Lakers Nets in the first round, that KD and Kyrie might play.
Well,
I personally am in favor of protecting the integrity of the conferences.
But
aren't
about,
you?
Well, think about how great that would be for the fans.
Oh, great for there's the fans, of, but scary for us.
There's a lot of ifs in that in your proposal there. So, number one, they would have to change to the 1 through 16.
Yep.
Number two, both Durant and Kyrie would have to go back on what has already been reported by really reputable sources like Woj and say, I know we said we weren't going to play, but now we are going to play. So a lot, there's a lot of ifs in that. But if it happened, okay, by the way, Mace, if that happened.
Yep.
And it's an if. I'm just.
Yeah, no, think about that there. As a first round series.
Can you imagine the ratings?
Oh, well, it's funny.
The highest rated first round series of all time.
Well, you talk about it would be unbelievable. It would be scary as a Lakers fan. I'd be scared.
Can I say something about that though?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I hear people saying, well, it would be scary. It wouldn't be fair. Blah blah blah. Do you really still feel after all that's happened this year? And all the just ridiculous scenarios that have roadblocks that have been thrown in our way, that you don't want Lakers Clippers?
I don't want Lakers Clippers.
I think most fans do. I think of how exciting that would be in the city. Think of the content for us. Be
I
selfish.
Want the Clippers to go out in the first round.
Well, you realize if they do the 1 through 16 thing, the Lakers and Clippers could meet in the finals.
Yeah, they could meet in the finals in a 1 through 16, which would be that. Now, that would be insane. But I hate the Clippers. I want them to go out in the first round.
Yeah, I would love to see it. I'm all for what gives us the most entertainment and excitement. And, you know, as a Laker fan, here's my thought. If you want to win the title, you got to go through everybody. You know, go through every. I mean, if you really, you don't want to duck anybody. If you're like in boxing, if you're the heavyweight champion of the world, you eventually got to fight
it's
all
not
the
a matter
contenders.
Of, it's not a matter of ducking. I mean, if they play them, they play them. I just want them to lose early.
Yeah.
I just think it'll be hilarious if they lose early.
To me, bring on the most exciting, compelling, fun, highest rating series. I get to call the games. You get to talk about them. It would be huge ratings and excitement and bring it on. That's what I think it'd be really fun. Imagine if the Lakers had to go through Brooklyn in the first round, and then I'm totally just making this up, but Brooklyn in the first round, and then in the second round they go through Houston, and the third round they go through maybe. Toronto, and then in the fourth round they go through the Clippers or Milwaukee. You're going to tell me that's an asterisk? No way.
Now wait a minute. In that scenario, do they get Milwaukee in the
Milwaukee would be on the other side of the bracket. Milwaukee would be the one. The Lakers would be the two.
Okay, and the Clippers are the four, so they would be on the same side as Milwaukee.
Right.
So you could face either Milwaukee or the Clippers in the final. And right. by the way, you're putting both of the really good teams on the other side of the bracket.
The heavyweights, right.
Yeah. By the way, in that scenario, I think the Lakers do benefit from a 1-16.
Yeah, and I'm not – okay, maybe this is going to come across as arrogant, but I've watched the Lakers play every game this year. They're really good. There isn't any team I don't think they can beat. I mean, we just watched them beat.
Yeah, we just watched them beat Milwaukee and the Clippers,
and we just watched Brooklyn beat them.
And by the way, that was months ago, but we just did.
Yeah, and then do you remember how the season ended? They lost to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So I mean, anything.
But that was
could
a trap game,
right? But anything could happen. But okay, let me just put it to you in more simple terms: is there any series that the Lakers could encounter? Regardless of it's 1-16 or if it's Western East, regardless of who, just think of any team that pops into your head that you wouldn't pick the Lakers to win.
No, I'd favor the Lakers over everybody.
There you go. So bring it on. Let's see if our team is as good as we think it is.
Although, you know who disagrees? You know who disagrees? Kevin Pelton. Have you seen this?
No.
I will explain it to you next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland, what is going on? It is Tuesday, and I hope you had a good holiday weekend. Got an extra day in there. World is starting to come to life again, which is great news. And sports is starting to come to life again, too. John, Kevin Pelton, who is a basketball writer for ESPN and who runs the basketball power index thing that they do.
Right.
You know, the BPI thing.
Okay.
So he has put out the odds for teams to win the championship based on both an Eastern-Western Conference version and a 1-16 version. So here's the way it goes in the neutral site Eastern-Western Conference way. He's got Milwaukee with a 50% chance of winning it all, and the Lakers with a 23% chance, followed by the Clippers with a 16% chance. He's got the Lakers with a 47% chance of going to the finals, and the Clippers with a 33% chance of going to the finals. Milwaukee's got it 77% going to the finals. Thoughts?
I do think Milwaukee has an easier road. I don't think that there is a second team as good as the second team in the West, which most people think is the Clippers. I'm not so sure I would favor Milwaukee as highly over the Lakers as he did. Did you say Milwaukee 47% chance, Lakers 23%? Does that have to do with the fact that the Lakers could lose to the Clippers? Is that why their percentage is higher?
So, okay. So in other words, between the Lakers and the Clippers, there would be a 39% chance. So it would be 50 to 39 if you added the Lakers and Clippers. So Lakers and Clippers sort of cancel each other out. Lakers with a 47% chance of making the finals. Clippers with a 33% chance. So that's what it is. It's because they've split.
Gotcha. So if you look at it that way, then maybe it makes a little more sense.
So here's 1-16, though, and this is why maybe we should be rooting for this as a scenario. In the 1-16, he's got Milwaukee with a 62% chance of making the finals, and the Lakers with a 59% chance of making the finals. And that's because the Milwaukee Bucks and the Clippers are on the same side of the bracket, which means the Lakers, in his world, in the basketball power index world, have a better chance of making the finals, whereas Milwaukee and the Clippers sort of divvy up the other side of the bracket. He's got Milwaukee then with only a 43% chance of winning it all, and the Lakers with a 28% chance. So in the 1-16, because you're taking the, I mean, if you think about this as a three-team race, and I do, I think Milwaukee, the Lakers, or the Clippers are going to win it all. If you think about it as a three-team race, having Milwaukee and the Clippers on one side of the bracket and the Lakers in a bracket by themselves actually is an advantage for the Lakers. You dodge. if you're in the West, you would have to potentially beat the Clippers and then beat Milwaukee, as opposed to in a 1 through 16, you face either Milwaukee or the Clippers in the final. So again, I say the 1 through 16 is an excellent plan.
You know what? I'm okay. Whatever gets us the games, just get me the games. You know, like I look at the NBA, and most of the stories in the NBA are about however you want to slice them, but they're all about how and when the games are coming back. If you look at most of the baseball stories, it's more if they can get this money sorted out so the games could come back.
Right.
So I know we got Bob coming up here in a few minutes, Bob Nightingale, and he can tell us, but you hear phrases like players are very disappointed, people tweeting, you know, if baseball can't get this together, this will be more devastating than the 94 strike, blah, 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 blah.
Although John Heyman tweets, and John Heyman's one of the good ones, while Union may not love MLB's first proposal, it's important to note that this is simply that, a first offer. While there isn't a ton of time, MLB is hoping to begin spring training about June the 10th. The sides are determined not to let economics stand in the way of a season. So he's saying he expects it to work out, that this was just a first offer, and that spring training could start as soon as June the 10th, which is, when is June the 10th? Is that, it's like less than 2 weeks, isn't it?
That is 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Can you imagine? I mean, even spring training games are going to be coming back.
June the 10th is 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Even spring training games are going to become a thing. And that's why I think, ultimately, baseball, and we'll talk to Bob Nightingale about this in a minute, baseball is going to find a way to work this out because it is an unprecedented opportunity.
Don't they?
Yeah, it's an unprecedented opportunity for the sport to have a stage completely by itself. I mean, to me, it would be, well, here, Jeff Passan. Funch, do you have Jeff Passan, most consequential week for Major League Baseball? Hit it.
I believe this is going to be the most consequential week in Major League Baseball in the last quarter century, dating back to the 1994 strike. You know, we had 2002 where there was a question if there was going to be a strike, but ultimately there was not. Now the Major League Baseball season hangs in the balance, and it's going to come down to MLB and the Players Association figuring out how to split the revenue that they generate in 2020. And that is not going to be an easy thing to do, but as we have said on this show, on SportsCenter, everywhere for 2 months now, this is the moment where it gets important, and we're going to see if these two sides that have been at loggerheads for a long time now can come together and bring baseball back in 2020.
So one of the things, and Bob will describe this in more detail, but one of the things they're trying to do is to make sure that the players who aren't making as much get closer to a full amount of their salary, and players who are making the most take a haircut based on the bigger amounts that they're going to make. So let's take Cody Bellinger, and I think he's making $600,000. So Cody Bellinger, if you do it on a 82 version of $60,000, or $600,000, you're talking about $300,000 for Cody Bellinger for the year. What they're trying to do is to make sure Cody Bellinger gets $600,000 and Mookie Betts gets some percentage off of the $27,000 he's entitled to get. So that's what they're trying to work out right now. It's a first offer. I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to sort of level the salaries.
Can I ask you a question about this?
Yeah.
Why should Mookie Betts have to take a cut at all?
I believe that would be the player's position. I believe you've nailed it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what the players want.
I mean, he's already agreed to take a prorated version of his salary, right?
That happened in March, yes.
What are we arguing over here?
Yeah, that's what I understand. The owners say that now because there's the fan component is gone, that they're entitled to a better deal from the players.
Right, but when the fans come back, the owners get all the money.
Yeah, and ultimately, the realistic thing is the owners get all the TV money. The owners get all the regional TV money. They get all the network TV money. They get all of the playoff money, the World Series money. They get all that money. And those things are still going to happen. There's still going to be a playoff. There is still going to be NLCS, ALCS, World Series where everybody hangs on every single pitch.
By the way, I got a baseball question for Lindsay.
Yeah.
Lindsay, are you there?
Of course. Where would I have gone?
I'm just checking.
Where'd Lindsay go?
No, you're often working, so I wanted to make sure I wasn't, you know, you weren't working on something. So, okay, so Lindsay, do you know what game ESPN is running tonight? You know, they're running old games. You know what they're running tonight?
Oh, geez, don't tell me. What is it?
You don't know?
No,
okay,
I don't.
So here it is. Game 7 of the 2016 World Series.
Oh, geez. That's,
Which is a great game. Like, the Indians actually played great in that game. The Cubs just won it.
It was great up until the point where they had, the rain delay, and then, B, Rajay Davis hitting that game-tying home run was probably the most exciting sports moment of my life.
Right, with LeBron going crazy, and was it J.R. Smith that took his shirt off in the stands? And, and so I'm wondering, you're home tonight.
Not watching.
There's nothing.
No way.
Oh, you're not.
No
okay.
No way.
So,
absolutely
like,
not.
So, Mace, here's a, like the other, maybe a month ago, they reran USC Texas. You were a big USC fan at that time.
I did have that on the TV. I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it carefully because I know what happens. I'm not necessarily watch the old game guy, but I did have it on the TV.
Yeah. So, Lindsay, I actually think that, like, you would enjoy a large portion of that game. You just don't enjoy how it ends, but you already know how it ends, so it won't be that painful. There were some great Indians highlights in that game, especially the Rajay Davis home run.
You know, the game I would watch is Game 5 of the 2017 World Series. I would like to watch that one back. One, because it was a great game. Two, because I would listen for banging of trash cans. I would listen to that. I would turn up the volume really, really loud and see if I could hear the banging of trash cans.
You're not going to watch, Lindsay?
No, it's too painful. I mean, that's literally the one moment in all of sports where I had to just completely unplug and get away, not watch TV, not listen to the radio, not for at least a good 5 days, where I was that upset about it. It was devastating.
And by the way, if we haven't mentioned it, it was the Cubs finally winning the World Series for the first time in like 100 years. But the Indians had it. I mean, it was right there at the end.
Oh, they did.
And the Cubs pulled it out. But it is one of the great Game 7s in World Series history. And they're going to replay it tonight on ESPN.
So we are going to salute all of our frontline workers and thank them for their bravery and their tireless work during the COVID-19 pandemic. So if you know somebody who's working as a healthcare provider, as an EMS worker, food service professional, policeman, firefighter, you can nominate him or her today. Here's how you do it. Email us. ESPN LA Marketing at ESPN.com. ESPN LA Marketing at ESPN.com. Provide first and last name, city, and occupation. And every Thursday, we're going to award a frontline worker thank you gift prize package that includes a $200 service at Valvoline Instant Oil Change and a $100 gift card from Wingstop, Shooteria, and VS Liquor. VSLiquor.com. Thank you Thursday presented by Valvoline. Pull into your local Valvoline Instant Oil Change for 20% off any service. Plus grocery store workers, delivery drivers, medical and first responders get an additional 10% off. Just show your ID. Visit SoCalOilChange.com to get this offer and find locations. And again, send us the name, the name, the occupation, and the city. ESPN LA Marketing at ESPN.com. All right, Bob Nightingale's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, it is a great Tuesday. Everybody's making progress now towards coming back. The city is starting to open. The state is starting to open. And we are getting ready for a potential start of baseball spring training on June the 10th. But there's a bunch of financial stuff that needs to be worked out. And joining us right now is Bob Nightingale. Bob, thanks a lot for coming on. How are you, man?
Yeah, doing great. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, Bob.
Good, man.
And we always appreciate you coming on. So this first proposal from the owners to the players. I'm you know, the reports are that the players are not happy. But it, I mean, how should we view this? Should we view this as like a hard line, or is it just a first proposal?
Oh yeah, just first proposal. That's it. You know, this first time they were able to make an economic proposal. So, you know, step there. The union will go over it with the players, you know, next couple of days, and go from there. But yeah, simply the first step.
So, what is the offer? Describe it in its simplest terms, like I'm a fourth grader.
Well, it's pretty much just, hey, whoever makes the most money gets taxed the most. You know, teams are doing it. The Dodgers, the Nationals, you know, the Nationals now are taxing their employees 25% for employees make over $300,000. You know, 20% 100 to 200, 10% under 100. And so it'll be like that for baseball players too. Guys making less than $1 million will be taxed very low. Probably less than 10%, and then maybe 15-20%. You know, for the guys making over $5 million, and the guys with the richest contracts will probably get charged, maybe 20-30%. I don't know the exact numbers, but that's how it's going to work.
We're talking to Bob Nightingale. Bob, when you look at, we had Scott Boras on the show maybe 2 weeks ago, and keep in mind that Scott's obviously arguing, he's a player agent, so he's obviously arguing for the players.
He's got a particular point of view, Bob.
Yeah, but he said to us, and I was trying to think of what the counter is to this. He said to us, he goes, look, back in March, they sat down and they reached an agreement in principle that the players would take a prorated version of their salaries for the games played. And he feels that's the agreement that they should eventually come back to. What's the owner's counter to that? Why wouldn't the owners just agree with that, give them a prorated version of what they're making, and we all move forward?
Well, in that same proposal, agreement, it also spells out that if fans are not allowed into the stadium, if there are travel restrictions, all bets are off. You know, that we're going to renegotiate in good faith what the player should earn percentage-wise. So it's in there. There's loopholes and stuff like that. But the owners said that the agreement was never made thinking there won't be fans, only, with fans in the stadium. And, it's in there black and white. So that's what they're going on.
Give us an idea. So what's your feeling percentage-wise that they're going to work something out this week?
I don't think they'll do it this week, Stephen John. I do believe they'll get something done in the next 10 days to 2 weeks. Remember now, when they made that March 26th agreement, that took 2 weeks to do. So, it's got to be a little while for this to take place as well. So I think, 90% chance it gets done. I do believe that both sides want to play ball so badly. Some money is, better than not making anything at all. So I do think this gets done, but it's just going to take some time.
Bob, are you convinced that all these teams will play in their own stadiums, or are there going to have to be some teams that play somewhere else?
No, I really believe they'll be able to own stadiums. You kind of worry about San Francisco a little bit, and with the Giants, maybe the A's too, but particularly the Giants. And, of course, the Toronto Blue Jays, right now there's travel restriction. You have to isolate going in. So I don't see the Blue Jays. I'm sure they'd have to, maybe they share a complex with the Detroit Tigers, play in Detroit, that sort of thing. Everybody else from I talked to believe that they're going to, play in their own stadiums. And most teams, probably about 80% of teams, are counting on having spring trainings at their own stadiums as well.
Bob Nightingale from USA Today is with us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So I've been clinging and repeating over and over again what you said the last time you were on with us, which is that you're 90-10, that there will be baseball by the 4th of July. Does that timetable still hold up?
I might go back to maybe, say, 85-15 on July 4th. There's no hard deadline in this. Worst comes to worst, you start the season, say, July 11th or something like that. Because I don't know how it's probably going to take about a week for the players to arrive to spring training. You got to give them some time. Then you do have to give them 3 weeks of spring training. So I still think July 4th is very much a possibility. That's what everybody wants. But if it's a few days later, so be it.
Bob, if there is a guy that tests positive for the virus, What is your understanding of what would happen next?
They're saying that he's self-quarantined for 1 week, and he has to test negative twice to be admitted back to playing again. So just the one player, not, you know, everybody who's been around or anything like that. I'm sure everybody that's been around, the whole team will probably get tested, you know, immediately. But the player would be just, you know, down for 1 week.
So it'd basically be like they treat it like an injury, right?
Yeah, or really almost like a bad, you know, flu virus. You know, in spring training, particularly in the Cactus League this spring, there were a lot of teams affected by it. I want to say the Dodgers were one for sure. So were the Chicago Cubs. And, you know, you wonder how many guys actually had COVID without knowing about it. So, yeah, it's almost like 1 week they just, you know, stay away and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, by the way, that's really interesting. So there was a bad flu during spring training. We don't know necessarily if that was the traditional flu or if that could have been COVID. Are they going to do antibody tests to see if those guys actually did have COVID?
Yeah, from understanding, they are. Do the blood work there to see who has the antibodies. Because when you think about it, it's impossible for, I mean, right now, there's not a single major league player that's publicly said he had COVID. You know, what you think about it, it's almost impossible. You know, you can say that about the media, too, everybody that was around. And that flu bug was going around big time where guys were sick. You know, guys were getting, one guy stayed in the hospital for a day or so. You know, you think back saying, why was that serious? And you know, now we probably don't know the answer in hindsight.
We're talking to Bob Nightingale, and Bob's been nice enough to kind of keep us updated on everything that's happening in baseball. Bob, last thing for me, do you know yet if guys like you will be able to attend games in the normal manner? Will we be able to, will the press box be a traditional press box, or are some of the beat writers and the broadcasters going to have to cover this stuff remotely, or how will the media be able to cover baseball when this thing starts?
You know, right now, I wouldn't be surprised at all if nobody is in there, including the team broadcasters. They may have to do it for a remote site. If the team broadcasters are in there, then I think the media would be as well in the press box. Now, afterwards, would there actually be press conferences or maybe Zoom calls? I think people talk about Zoom calls. Also talking about just, you know, one reporter for, you know, media site, that sort of thing. But I think at the get-go, very, very cautious. Now, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if media's not even allowed to, you know, watch a spring training practice when it resumes here in a couple weeks.
Does the timetable stay the same for playoffs and World Series? In other words, does that still happen October and sort of end of October is the World Series?
Yeah, that's the plan right now, is that just like usual, the last World Series game will be around Halloween. Now, if they can't get something done, you know, and it's going to take a little while, yeah, maybe they push everything back a week or 10 days. The owner's biggest fear is the postseason. They say, you know, it would be a nightmare to play 2 months of a regular season and then no postseason or the playoffs are shut down. And now you're talking about $1 billion worth of money in postseason TV. So they really don't want to go too long here, because they do have a fear, like everybody else, that there would be a second wave of the virus coming in the fall, you know, like we have on flu season.
Bob, we can't thank you enough for doing this, man. Bob Nightingale from USA Today. He is the Major League Baseball columnist at that website, at that newspaper. And, Bob, we read it every day. Thank you for coming on and helping us with all this.
Sure, my pleasure. Thanks, John. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Bob. All right, there you have Bob Nightingale. He feels like it's going to get worked out, but it may take a little bit of time. So maybe John Heyman's being a little overly optimistic by saying that he thinks spring training is going to work out for June the 10th. But 85-15 that we will have baseball by the 4th of July. That is so friggin' exciting because, you know, if you think about what's about to happen, we are going to have arguably the best team in Major League Baseball and the best team in the NBA playing at exactly the same time through the next couple of months. It is going to be a fantastic time.
And then football right around the corner if everything breaks right. All right, coming up next, somebody we've been really anxious to talk to, because, Mace, I have no idea what happens to fantasy sports now.
Yeah.
And our friend Matthew Berry, who has been a fantasy expert at ESPN, the talented Mr. Roto from the beginning of time. Matthew, and we go back 20 years with Matthew. I would imagine that would it be an overstatement on my part to say billions of dollars are affected, that fantasy is now a billion-dollar industry?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Everybody we know plays fantasy football. And you play, like, fantasy baseball, fantasy basketball. I mean, all of it was just shut down with the pandemic.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, we had our draft scheduled and everything for baseball. You know, I'm sure that we will wind up doing one by Zoom. I mean, I intend to have a fantasy baseball league this year. And fantasy football, I would assume that we will have our normal league, including what we're calling the Mason Rule.
The new rule that says you can't tank.
The no tanking rule, which has been established by the Hollywood Football League.
Yes, which hits you at the heart of your strategic skill.
And you know, I voted for it on the condition that it would be from here for known as the Mason Rule.
Yeah, that was the least surprising condition in the history of the Hollywood Football League. But it was you know what? It fits. It works for you.
Yeah. It absolutely does. All right, so Matthew Berry is going to join us coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.